Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
Where the treetops glisten.
Where the treetops glisten.
And children listen.
And children listen.
To hear
sleigh bells in the snow.
Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful song. That was the clip from the original movie, Holiday Inn. Matthew 1 and 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You'll see this next PowerPoint. It's just the image on the next PowerPoint of the white Christmas song in the movie, Holiday Inn. There's Margie Reynolds, Bing Crosby, and there's another fellow up there. There's a pretty good dancer that was in that movie with him. Yep, many of you remember that movie. It's a classic, isn't it? That song became one of the all-time Christmas song favorites. That's a non-religious song for sure. White Christmas, Holiday Inn. Special time. Christmas is so special for so many reasons. I mean, at this time of the year, you go into the stores and they're full of shoppers, and the post office, even our post office here at the church, is just overflowing with Christmas cards, and airlines and highways are full of travelers carrying folks that are going to visit loved ones and going home to make that visit. But to some folks, Christmas brings some sad memories. For some folks, it brings a look back over the years, maybe remembering a loved one that's now in heaven. And, you know, sadly, to others, it means revelry and talk about liquor and parties. Parties, I don't understand, somehow connecting whiskey with the blessed name of Jesus, but that's part of our culture and our world. And sadly, also, for millions, if not billions, of people around the world, Christmas means nothing to them. They don't know Jesus. And December the 25th for them is simply just another day. But Christmas means everything to the born-again believer. It means that we know God loves us. It means we know that God regarded our lost condition and has done something about it. It means God's given us the best Christmas gift that God could ever give. It means that our Savior was born to be an example for us. He was born to die for our sins and to be raised again. He was born to be ascended upon high and to make intercession for you and for me. He's born to give us hope. We have the hope of a soon coming, a soon returning Savior that will call us home for all of eternity. Christmas and Jesus also means that as believers, we have a companion for life. We have a friend, no matter what we're going through. We have a friend even at the hour of death. And it also means that not only is God's love pouring into us through His Son Jesus, but that He gives that love to you and me to express to those all around us, not just Christmas, but always. Yes, Christmas means everything to the Christian. That melody that we just heard sung by Bing Crosby, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. You know, in this part of Texas, a white Christmas is a pretty rare event. I remember years ago when Sherry and I had first moved to Wichita Falls when I first got out of college, and we had a little boy and a little girl come spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and a couple of days after with in our home. They were out of the foster system, and they needed a place for these two little kiddos for Christmas. And it snowed Christmas Eve night. You remember that, Sherry? We had a little white snow out on Christmas morning. We were out there with those children. It was a great memory. But that white Christmas, that's a rare event here in Texas. But hear me this morning. We can have a right Christmas, a right Christmas, if we allow certain things to be in place. So we're going to take just a minute this morning and look again at the gospel story and examine what a right Christmas includes. And it takes us to the first point of the sermon. Number one, a right Christmas includes making room for our Savior, making room for Jesus. Luke's gospel gives the account, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We know the story well. The innkeeper missed Christmas, didn't he? The innkeeper missed Christmas and all of its meaning. Imagine for just a moment that there had been room in the inn for Mary and Joseph. Do you realize that that inn would have become a famous shrine? It would have been priceless, wouldn't it? But instead, there was no room in the inn. They went to a cave, so to speak, in the side of a hill, and Christ was born in a manger. And that hotel, that inn, wherever it was, it's now forgotten. But if it had known to let Mary and Joseph come in, it would be famous. Today, let me ask you, do you say in your heart, I just don't have room for Jesus? Are you living your life as if there's no room for Christ in your heart today? Is your life so full of all the other stuff that can demand our attention that it causes you to miss out on everything that God has for you? Wouldn't you agree with me that it would be a good thing this Christmas for all of us to throw out all the stuff and the noise and make sure that we make room for Jesus in our lives this Christmas? We must throw away anything that takes our heart away from our Savior Jesus, making room for Him. Number one, a right Christmas means making room for Him. Number two, a right Christmas includes worship. When Jesus was born, a wonderful miracle of nature took place. The heavens opened up and the angel appeared, and the heavens were full of singers, and they sang and they spoke to the shepherds on the side of a hill in Judea. And the angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You will find Him wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. What a great, great declaration. It's known as the first Noel, the first issue of news, a good, wonderful news. If we're going to have the right Christmas, we must follow the example of the shepherds and the wise men. We must come and worship Him. Does worship of Christ, does it have any place in your life? It seems like worship for so many Christians has become a lost art. So many Christians don't have the time to stop and to look up into the face of our Savior and give Him thanks and give Him praise and give Him worship. So many Christians today even rarely even enter the house of God, the place of worship, the church. So many Christians say, well, you know, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go into the sanctuary to worship Him. I can do that outside the church. But the reality is that they never worship Him anywhere. You think about it, the heathen looks up at the sun and worships. The dog worships as he gazes into his master's face. The lover worships his sweetheart. And the baby looks up into the face of its mother and worships its mother. But God's children were saved and were blessed a million ways. And yet so many of God's children just go on and on, never lifting their hands or their hearts to God in praise. Lamentations 3 and verse 41 reminds us, let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. You know, I know some folks will say, well, you know, Pastor, I didn't grow up in a church where we lifted our hands in worship. We just didn't do that, and I'm not comfortable with that. I know that some of that is some of our experience in this church. But I'm telling you, the Bible tells us that if we'll lift our hands, something else happens. It lifts our hearts. Oh, when there's a genuine, sincere expression of praise and worship to God, and we lift our hands to Him, it lifts our hearts, and we worship Him in truth and in honor. What a great thing it is. A man was brought to a great clinic for an operation. He had cancer on his tongue, and the surgeon was going to have to completely remove all of his tongue. And the man had given permission for a large group of medical students to observe and watch this surgery. So they're all looking down on him as he's lying on the surgical bed. And the surgeon says to him, he said, this will be your very last opportunity to speak. What would you like to say before this operation? The man looked up into the faces of all those looking down upon him. And he cried out, praise be to Jesus Christ throughout all eternity. What a great last comment to make before the man's tongue was cut out. Oh, praise be to God for all eternity. For those of you who have left worship out of your daily lives, I beg you, I ask you to say in your heart, I will not go on that way. I will include worship of my Savior every day in my life. There will be a place for it each day in my life. I will let my life and my lips and my heart praise His matchless name. I will do this. Oh, let us make that resolution here today to do it. The third part in making a right Christmas, it includes the grace of giving. Matthew's gospel tells us of the wise men that came from the east. Bible says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's recorded in Matthew 2, 10 through 11. Each gift they gave to the baby Jesus had great value. You think about it, we know more about Jesus today than what those wise men knew. He's done more for you and me than He'd done for them at that particular moment. Are we giving ourselves? Are we giving our time? Are we giving our talents? Are we giving the gifts that God has placed within us? Are we giving our tithe and our offerings to our Lord? A certain Christian man went to see his lawyer, and his lawyer was also a Christian. The man said to his lawyer, he said, I'm having a really hard time financially, and I want you to draw up bankruptcy papers for me. The lawyer looked at him, he said, I will tell you something better. I will tell you the way to pay for all your debts and avoid disgrace. And the man says, okay, tell me. I can't imagine. What is it? And the lawyer told him, he says, if you'll just begin to tithe and give God His part, if you'll start that and give Him His part first out of every paycheck, give God His part first, then you take care of everything else. He says, if you'll do that, surely God will bless you and He'll bring you out of this difficulty. And He promises to pour His blessings out upon all of His children that will follow Him in giving of their tithe in obedience to God. He said, you try this for 6 months. And if I'm wrong, if it doesn't take care of your problem, you come back to me and then I'll draw up these bankruptcy papers. Well, the man made the promise to do that, though I know in his heart he was really wondering, how can I? But he did it, and he stuck to his promise. Out of every paycheck, the first thing he would do is give that 10% to the Lord. God took care of him, and God blessed him in a wonderful way. And he never had to go back and see that lawyer, and he never had to declare for bankruptcy. Hasn't God told you and me, hasn't His Word told us that in all these things that will be added to us if we'll just come to Him and put Him first? You know, we talk about giving, it's really about putting God first in our life above everything else. A right Christmas includes the grace of giving. A businessman in Chicago, he tells of running an errand on a very cold, blustery day. There was snow and sleet and rain coming down. They were all mixed up. The wind was blowing. It was fierce. It was cold. It was awful. And as he completed his errand, he saw a little boy about 10 years old. The little boy was blue and shivering, and he was in the doorway of the store to try to keep dry. And he could tell that the little fella had been crying. Well, the little boy looked so pitiful. The man stopped and he asked him about his trouble. The little boy said, "Well, everything's fine, I'm okay." But the man tenderly continued to ask the boy what was wrong and to question him. Finally, the boy, with tears running down his cheeks, blurted out, he said, "My father sent me out with a $20 bill to buy groceries, but my hands grew so cold and the wind was blowing so hard, the wind blew it out of my hand, and I lost that $20 bill. And my father, I'm afraid to go home because my father's drunk. And if I come home without the groceries, without the money, he'll almost kill me." "He's waiting," he told the man. "I'm waiting, hoping that my father maybe will fall asleep, or maybe he'll leave, and then I can go home." The man took the little boy to the grocery store. And he bought the food that he had intended to buy with that $20. The little boy thanked him, and in a moment of great emotion, he threw his arms around the man's waist, and he choked up a little bit. And the boy looked up in that man's eyes, and he said, "I wished you was my daddy." Now listen to what this man did. After the little boy left, he walked around for hours in the sleet, in the snow, in the cold rain, and in the wind, just to see if he could find another little boy that needed some help. There is nothing that can compare to the joy we have when we give. Jesus tells us, "Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Imagine Jesus on the cross, giving all that He has for you and me. You and I would be on our way to hell if He hadn't given Himself for our sins, for our redemption. But must Jesus give all? And we're to give nothing in return? Surely as a Christian, you love Him. You want to give to Him. It'll be a right Christmas if you'll say, "From now on, I'm going to give Him that which rightfully belongs to Him." And finally, the fourth thing we should do, the right Christmas includes the matter of telling others about Jesus. Well, that image of that angel appearing to the shepherds, it, like I said earlier, it represents what we call the first Noel. We sing that beautiful song. It's the first announcement, if you would, about Christ. They had longed for the Messiah to come and to fill their hearts with peace and joy. And now the angel is there in their presence announcing that the Savior's been born. It is the sweetest message the world has ever heard, and the world will never be the same again because of that message. But sadly, men and women are still in darkness today. They're still searching for something. Something that would give them peace and joy and hope, in a sense that all is okay in their life. They need Jesus, don't they? Oh, they need Jesus in a personal way. If we take the message of Jesus to them, if we share that good news with them, then that life that we share it with, it'll never be the same. It could change them and make them over. Think about the joy and the wonder we can bring to someone because we're willing to share the good news of how much Christ loves them. Now, He wants a personal relationship with them. A certain senator in Washington had invited the ambassador from Belgium to his home for a big dinner, big fancy dinner. And the senator's father, he was a wonderful Christian man. He'd always loved to tell others about Jesus. He was very bold about it, always winning people to Christ. So the senator, before the dinner that night, he went to his dad. His dad lived with him. He went to his dad, went to his aging father, and he said, "You know, we're having that ambassador over for dinner tonight, and I want you to be really careful about what you say to him." His father said, "I understand. Of course, I'll be very careful." Well, the ambassador, he came. He's received with great pomp and great ceremony. It was wonderful. And soon after the ambassador had arrived, the senator's father came down from upstairs. He came down. He was introduced to the ambassador. And the elderly father, I guess, just forgot the warning that his son had given him. And he blurted out the question immediately as he looked at that ambassador, "Are you a Christian?" The senator was very embarrassed, but the ambassador is very kind and very courteous to the father. Well, just 7 months later, the senator's elderly father passes away. Well, you know, he's a senator's father, and so many, many, many flowers are sent to the funeral. But the one wreath, this majestic funeral wreath, stood out above all the other wreaths and flowers at that funeral. And the card accompanying the wreath were these words: "In memory of the only man in America who spoke to me about my soul." Signed, the man's name, Ambassador to Belgium. May God help us to be interested in the souls of other men. May God help us to care about the souls of those around us, the strangers and those that we meet. Jesus loved us and He died for us. And He wants you and I to seek opportunities to tell others about Him. We will find the greatest joy. We'll find the greatest joy lifting the loads of those that we speak to, lifting the burdens and the troubles of those that we speak to. We'll find the greatest joy when we share Christ with them. They receive Him and are forgiven, and their life becomes full of the hope of the Savior. What joy it is to be a part of what God can do in other people's lives. So in conclusion today, let's remember these four things. Let's make room for Jesus in our hearts, in our lives. Let's bow down, let's worship and praise Him. Let's bring our gifts to Him, all of our gifts to Him. And let us tell others about the sweet, wonderful old story of our Savior and His love. Then our dreams, not about a white Christmas, but our dreams about a right Christmas will come true. They'll come true, and we will definitely have a right Christmas this year. Is that what you want in your lives? A right Christmas. We're going to conclude our worship today as Brother Mike comes back to the piano and Sherry comes up with the microphone to help us out. We're going to conclude the worship today with a congregational singing of a very special song. This song was written originally as a poem by Longfellow. It was written on Christmas Day in 1863. Longfellow had just lost his wife 2 years earlier in a tragic accident where candle caught her dress on fire, burned her. 2 days later, she died. It burned part of his face, and he had to grow a beard from that point forward. 1863 is the middle of the Civil War, and Longfellow's son had joined the Union Army, and he was seriously wounded. It was touch and go in his life. So it was a very dark and troubling time for Longfellow. The words of this song, that they expose a world full of hatred and sorrows, a world longing and straining to find hope. Sadly, despair and even destruction is all around us in this nation and even in the world today. Cynicism and bitterness can threaten to drain away all hope, even that are in the hearts of Christians. Yet this song we're going to sing, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," it reminds us that God does not slumber. He's with us. He's with you right now if you reach up in faith and receive Him. And there's hope. There's hope because of the news given by the angels on the side of a hill in a dark night 2,000 years ago. There's hope for us. As this song declares, the Lord is not silent, nor does He sleep. Would you please stand with me as we conclude our worship and sing this song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Come on up here, babe.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. There all familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat.
Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong. And mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. The wrong shall prevail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till rain.